you can be sure there'll be pressure to not stand with the Lord. You'll be in the minority if you do. The Balanced Word is next.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's been said that integrity is to our character what health is to our body. A person with integrity is not divided or pretending, but is living in harmony with what is true. But there's always pressure to compromise, as we'll hear today on The Balanced Word. So we must be on our guard. Our teacher is Pastor Dave Rolf, who takes us now to 2 Chronicles chapters 17 through 20.
If God's speaking, he's almost always going to be in a minority. And so we have to be willing sometimes to speak up, even if everyone else is telling us, just let it go. Just give it up. Look, everybody else says this. For once, can you just not rock the boat? For once, will you just say what everyone else is saying? And so that's what this messenger was saying. And Micah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. And so he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. He goes, this is what you want to hear? Fine, I'll tell you. You want to know what I want, or do you just want to hear me say what you want me to say? And so he goes, oh yeah, go ahead. I agree with all these wise prophets. Go ahead and go, and I'm sure you'll win. And he said it in such a sarcastic way that Ahab knew that he was messing with him, making fun of him. Jehoshaphat could tell as well. And the king said to him, verse 15, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? He goes, come on, don't mess with me. Tell me, what is it? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy good concerning me but evil? And then Micah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So he says, I had this vision, and it was up in heaven, and God was saying, I want Ahab to go and attack Syria so that he'll get wiped out. How can I convince him to do that? And no one spoke. Then one spoke and another spoke. The angels had different ideas of what they would do. And then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said, how are you going to do that? He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Whoa. What a strange turn of events that he's going, I had a dream. And in that dream, God was talking to the angels and saying, we need to lure Ahab into getting destroyed by the Syrians. So how can we do it? And he took different suggestions, different ideas. And finally, one angel says, hey, I know. I'll go put a lying spirit in him, in the prophets. And he'll sucker for that. He'll listen to them. This is, again, Micah telling this parable. Now, it's problematic, except that it's not necessarily what actually happened. This is just a vision that he had, a parable, if you will, of what had happened. Now, if in fact it did happen, I'm not totally sure how to explain it, to be honest with you. But we know that at times God releases demons to do things that will accomplish his will. And, you know, Paul in 2 Corinthians talking about his thorn in the flesh, talked about it as being a messenger of Satan sent from God to keep him humble. How does that work? How does it fit? I don't know. I'd be much more comfortable if these verses just weren't here, but I want to be faithful to teach you God's word. And this is what it said, Micah said, whether it's something that actually happened. If so, in order to understand it, you have to go to the book of Job and realize that Satan and some of the demons had access to the throne of God and were coming and arguing with God. And so it could be one of those kinds of deals where finally, you know, somebody said, hey, if you want to do it, here's how you take care of it. And God said, okay, fine. Now, Ahab was a guy who worshiped demons. So it's not like God took this innocent person and he goes, you know what, I'll give demons to all of your godly advisors. He was a worshiper of Baal. He was a worshiper of Ashtoreth. He was a worshiper of all sorts of pagan things. His wife Jezebel was the leader in all of this. And so these 400 prophets were hirelings and con men. So I don't have a problem really with God even saying, look, these guys are just, you know, they're full of demons. So I'll send them one more demon to tell them something that's going to then drag Ahab into doing what is in his heart to do anyhow. But I'm not going to pretend that I completely understand it. I'm at peace with the passage because I'm at peace with God. Whatever God does, it's right. He does all kinds of things I don't understand. And so I'm okay with it. If you're not, take it up with him. So he goes on to then Zedekiah, who was right near there, probably one of these prophets, struck Micah on the cheek. He hit him and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? He's like, oh yeah, you're having all these visions and dreams. You've got God in you. And he sucker punched him and goes, so what's God telling you now? That your face hurts? And Micah said, indeed, you will see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. He said, your day's coming when you're going to run and hide like a little baby, and then you'll know what the truth is. The king of Israel said, take Micah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. He goes, you know, I want you to be here when I get back so I can rub your nose in it. So stick him in prison and don't let him out until I come back victoriously. And Micah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said to everyone around, you guys pay attention to this too. Take heed, all you people. So the prophet Micah is saying, okay, here's the test. Ahab, if you come back, then yep, God hasn't spoken to me. I'm not a prophet at all. But if it happens the way I say it is, and you go out there and you're killed by the Syrian army, then I want everybody to know that God said it and it happened and you can trust him, and all 400 of these other guys are liars and losers. We'll see how it pans out. We'll see what happens, and time will tell. And so they went out to war. Ahab and Jehoshaphat went up to Ramoth-Gilead, and the king of Israel, Ahab, said to... Notice how it usually doesn't even use his name. It just keeps calling him the king of Israel, because these are the chronicles, the kings of Judah. They didn't have a lot of respect for the guys up north. He said, I'll disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes. Jehoshaphat, he's like, why don't you go ahead and wear your royal apparel, but I'm going to go plain clothes. Kind of clever Ahab is. Why don't you go to war with me and you wear a big target on your back and I'll blend in with the scenery. And Jehoshaphat's like, okay. It's funny, as a police chaplain, they give us these jackets, and some chaplain's jackets say in big letters across the top of the jacket, chaplain. It's supposed to make you safe when you're out in the middle of the action, and if shooting's going on, they figure, oh, they're not going to shoot a chaplain. The problem is they've found out that some of the people who perpetrate crimes think that the word chaplain looks an awful lot like captain. They don't read very well, and so they're trying to cap off chaplain. So now most agencies don't put that on their jackets anymore. But that's what they did, and they headed out into battle. And again, they said the king of Syria had commanded the captains, verse 30, and said, don't fight anybody, only the king of Israel. I want Ahab. And so they saw Jehoshaphat and thought, oh, look at that guy. That's got to be Ahab. And so they surrounded him to attack, and Jehoshaphat started crying out, and God helped him, and God diverted them from him. Jehoshaphat started praying like crazy, and they're going, that can't be Ahab. He wouldn't be praying like that. They probably didn't know it was Jehoshaphat, but they probably thought Ahab dressed some poor sucker up in the king's robes to be a target, which is kind of what he did, but the guy actually was a king. So when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. They were like, oh, forget it. All we did was come out here to get Ahab. We haven't got him. Let's go home. But there was a certain guy that had already cocked his bow and arrow, and he was just like, yeah, I'll just fire one off in the air. And he just randomly fired this arrow and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. He has this armor on. A guy just randomly fires an arrow into the crowd or into the air, and it breaks the seam of his armor. Ahab's there hiding incognito. He's got the best chain mail that you could get on him, and somehow this arrow finds its way to the one vulnerable spot, stuck him right between the shoulder blades. And he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I'm wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up on his chariot, facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died. And so, you know, again, Ahab, he gets his at the end. If God's going to take you out and God says this is going to happen, it's going to happen. And it happened exactly the way that Micah said it would. And sure enough, it was a lesson, hopefully, to Jehoshaphat as well, because he was there and saw it. Now, in chapter 19, it talks about all that Jehoshaphat ended up doing and a lot of what he did, at least in 19. It says, the king of Judah returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. He went home. He was through with alliances with the north. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. So the prophet came up to him and said, you did a really stupid thing. You went out there and allied yourself with an evil man. You put yourself on the side of someone who is completely wrong and completely evil. And as a result, God's really upset with you. You've made God angry. He wants you to remain pure. And you went and compromised and got suckered into this scheme that was caused by someone who was evil. Someone who had no respect for God, didn't love God at all. But he goes, on the other hand, God does see good things upon you. The wrath of the Lord is upon you, but good things have been found in you. You have prepared your heart to seek the Lord. You've torn down a lot of these idols. Your heart is right. You've tried to do the right thing, but you got caught up in something that you shouldn't have. But he goes, just want you to know, God's upset when you do this. This was a bad plan. You should have listened. You had a good enough heart that you kept insisting that they bring in a prophet. And then when the prophet comes in and tells you what to do, you go, thump, 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 you know, you're the boss. I said I'd go, and we'll go. And you went into battle, and you almost got yourself killed. Stupid. And so Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. That was his calling, and that showed his heart. He went out and hunted down people who were confused and lost and had lost contact with God. And he said, I want to bring you back. And if we have the heart of our Father, that's what we desire to do. The story of the prodigal son wasn't really about the prodigal son. You remember the story. This kid took his inheritance, went off and blew it all and was living in a pig pen. And one day he got so desperate, he came back home. And his dad welcomed him back and prepared a feast for him. And we love the story, oh, how the prodigal comes home. But that wasn't what the story was about. Jesus was telling that story to the Pharisees, who in their self-righteousness looked down their nose at those who had been messed up in sin, didn't understand that God came to seek and to save the lost. And so the story continued with the older brother, who was upset that his dad was celebrating the return of his brother who had been sinning. And I think as much as anything else in the Bible, that story will let us know where our heart is. How do we feel about somebody who's sinned? Do we want them to come back? How do we feel about someone who's fallen away from the Lord, who's fallen out of touch with him, who's violated his laws and now are suffering the consequences of it? Is our desire to draw them back? Or like the older brother, do we just say, good riddance? Just get out of my sight. I don't want to have anything to do with you again. The heart of the Father is the heart that's set after the one who is lost. He not only came to seek and to save the lost, but it says that a good shepherd will leave the 99 in the fold and go out and hunt down the one. And so for each of us, there's that challenge from God. What are we doing to reach the lost? Is our heart after those who have fallen away? Is our heart after those whose lives have become so entangled and damaged and hurt by their wrong decisions? Do we just sit here with the 99 and have a party? Or do we say, you know, the most important thing for us is to go and hunt down those who were lost and draw them back? And so again, we see his heart as he brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. And then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities. And he said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you don't judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandments against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously and the Lord will be with the good. So he set up a governmental structure. He set up a series of leaders, and he said, you know, the people need someone to lead them, to deal with the problems that they have, to help them negotiate through some of the messes that they're going to get themselves in. And so I need some people who will be righteous enough, who will be courageous enough to stand up and speak up for what's right. And I don't want you to be influenced. I don't want you to be biased. You can't be bribed. You can't just be a respecter of persons and go, well, I know you and I don't know you, or you have this great reputation and you don't. But he's saying, no, you need to hear this stuff and be fair and be a true leader. And to do that takes courage, because the truth is, even as we saw before in the story, what people usually want is for us just to go along with them. The cry from the populace over and over again is, don't rock the boat. It disturbs me sometimes, and it's one of the things where I'm kind of glad that the internet is there, because you can have access to news and information that you can't get any other way. Because the only news that we get on television, the only news that we get in the newspapers, is what these huge corporations that own those media outlets want us to know. And sometimes it's not true. And yet some little guy in his bedroom can put something on the internet and everyone in the world can have access to it. And I think it's amazing. Now, because of that, there's a lot of wacky stuff out there. There's a lot of goofy stuff out there. But at the same time, there are a lot of things out there that turn out to be true. And again, the people would tell you, and we tell ourselves, oh, don't even think about it. It can't be. And you look at some of these Christian websites and you go, nah, that can't be. That's not happening. But the truth is, sometimes it is. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. And we can't afford to allow the majority to just tell us, don't rock the boat. Don't create trouble. Don't be a problem to everyone. Just play along. Like Micah, we need to say, you know what? I want to hear from the Lord, and I'll say what God says. I'll do what God says, whether people like it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, whether it's approved by my leaders or not. I'll speak the truth. And the king didn't say, you guys, I'm going to put you in charge, and what I want you to do is exactly what I tell you to do. What I want you to do is to check with me and judge by what I want to do, and then you'll be a good judge. He said, you know what? Don't ask me. Don't do anything to please me. You do what's right. And because of that, they needed to have courage. And he said, behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. God will end up causing the truth to come out. And what's right will end up being the result. But their job as leaders was to just to speak the truth. Micah was a great example of this. Jehoshaphat, no doubt, after seeing what happened to Ahab, went home and thought, you know, that guy in Israel should have listened to him. And so he went to his people, he went to his leaders, and he said, I want you to be like that. If I'm wrong, I want you to tell me I'm wrong. If everyone thinks that something's right and you see that it's not, speak up. Show some courage and conviction. It's not just be against everything. When someone is against everything, then they can't be trusted. But it's important for there to be people who will just speak the truth. And that's what God calls us to be, those kinds of people. That's what Christian leadership is. And it's the difference between the kings that succeeded and the kings that failed. And it's true in our lives as well.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. How do you react when someone tells you you're in the wrong? Here's Pastor Dave to have us think that through.
Is someone that you know afraid to come and tell you that you're wrong? If so, then you're in trouble. Because we all need to be able to hear people telling us that we're wrong. And you know, it's only if we foster that quality in our lives that we can really hear from God. Because the best things that God tells us aren't when he says, hey, good job. The best things that God tells us is when he says, hey, you're heading in the wrong direction. You're barking up the wrong tree here. And so we've got to be open to that, or we will be left to our own devices. And left to our own devices, you and I are no better than anyone else in this world. We will tend towards sin. We have that sin nature and it will take over. God help us if we get to the point where God can't interrupt us anymore, where he can't stand in our way and stop us. He may have to send a donkey like he did for Balaam, you know, to stand in the way and to block us and to speak. And sometimes you go, well, how could this person be from God? They're a donkey. Well, sometimes God speaks through donkeys. He'll speak through anything if we're listening. And may God just help us to be sensitive to him and just to do things his way in an uncompromising way and to always take steps because we've sought him, not because it seems like a great idea or it looks like it ought to work.
The Power of Prayer and Praise. That's coming up tomorrow on The Balanced Word when Pastor Dave Rolfe opens 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And